Chapter 67. The men were as varied in shape and size as they were in coloration and species, but all of the gladiators gathered in the three waiting chambers, be they clad in blue, red, or green, were alike in one regard. They were about to take the lives of other men. It was something that would have troubled Charlie as little as 6 months prior. He was fighting and winning, yes, but he had excelled in the tricky defensive spells, utilizing them to gain advantage and take down his opponents in the least violent manner possible. He had hurt many and crippled a good few, but he did what he could to avoid killing. Today, however, there was no room for such mercy, because he was quite certain none would be afforded him.
"I hear word that we are to have beasts assigned to our teams, though the reliability of each holding loyalty to any particular side is in doubt,"
a muscled wampa named Roth said as he readied himself for combat. "So we avoid them and force our opponents within striking range," Charlie suggested. "Roth, wasn't it?"
"Yes."
"Okay, did you hear anything further? Like, are they chained or otherwise bound? What I mean is, how much do we need to worry about watching our backs?"
"I do not know for certain, but the servant girl I spoke with said they had forged special restraint collars for the event," the pale man said, touching the band around his neck. "For that, the beasts must possess quite a fearsome power."
"Let us hope these spells at least keep them loyal to our side," Gawk said. "If they do not attack us, we can steer our opponents toward them, perhaps thin their numbers without getting our hands dirty." "A good idea," Charlie said, "but it's likely one of the other teams already thought of that. Remember, we are fighting men very much like ourselves, and they will be just as cunning and devious to do whatever it takes to survive. Now, Fomley, you're the lightest of us. Are you sure you can scale the pole? Should we clear you a path?" The slaver bore the scars of many battles on his pale green skin, but the wiry muscle beneath rippled with anticipation of action. "Oh yes," he said. "Just get me to the center, and I'll have that ring for us in no time." He tucked a pair of small daggers into the straps of each boot, but these were not meant for combat. They were tightly bound on the inside of his ankles, the points barely reaching the ground. Not of use for fighting, but excellent for climbing a greased pole.
5 minutes,
a herald shouted into the room. The gladiators checked each other's gear and psyched themselves up as best they could. Calm strategy would win the day. Berserker rage would just get you killed all the quicker. The minutes ticked down until at long last the door to the tunnel leaning into the arena's dirt floor slid open. "Here we go," Charlie thought, as he steeled himself for a brutal fight to the death.
"Zomaki!" someone shouted as they reached the mouth of the tunnel.
"Dragons? Here?" Charlie asked, hesitating a moment. "Are they collared and on our side?"
"It appears so, yes. There's a splash of green on the side of this black-skinned beast."
"Well, then, there's nothing else we can do about it. Let's go." The dragon turned its head and tried to spit fire at the men in green, but the thick collar around its neck glowed brightly, snuffing its flames when it tried.
"It's working," Benny said with glee. "It can't hurt us."
"Can't burn us," Charlie said. "It might still be able to step on you or eat you, so be careful." Each side had not one, but two Zomaki fighting with them. Normally, this would have made for an incredibly short bout, but the magical restraints placed on the beasts effectively hobbled them, adding a deadly surprise element to the affair. A spear from the red team had apparently already wounded the blue team's smaller dragon. A poor throw gone lucky, finding a seam between its armored scales, though it seemed to have pissed off the dragon more than harm it.
"Follow the plan and fight together. Get Fomley to the pole and maybe we will all go home in one piece," Charlie said.
He didn't believe his own words. Many of them would not go home at all. The men raced for one another, a fierce battle among some of the best gladiators of the day. Of course, there were only so many available for the event who had true skill. As such, many of the men fighting were more fodder than predator. Charlie's friends fit that category, but he multitasked as best he could, peppering their opponents with defensive spells that used little energy, buying them some time while he fought his own attacker. The man charging him was incredibly fast on his feet, and his spell casting was just as speedy. Charlie found himself quickly on his heels, diving and spinning from the man, waiting for an opening. It finally arrived in the shape of a small puddle of blood, conveniently deposited from the perforated body of one of the red team's men.
Charlie positioned himself just past it and feigned a slight injury, hoping his attacker would take the bait. Overzealous, the man did just that, rushing in when he should have been cautious. That would be his downfall. A terrible shriek filled the air behind him as one of the blue team's Zamaki had its heart pierced by the blade of a thick-necked orange man. He was one of Charlie's green team allies, but he would have no time to celebrate, as a gush of iridescent blood sprayed him from head to toe. He didn't even have time to scream, as his life was snuffed out in an instant by the toxic blood. Moments later, the dragon succumbed to its injury and collapsed on top of him. But Charlie didn't have time to worry about that. He rushed to his slipping attacker's flank and moved as if casting a spell. But when his opponent cast a counterspell, Charlie dove forward, his short sword flashing from its sheath and embedding firmly in the man's chest. The sword had no power of any kind, a non-magic weapon in a battle of magic users. It was the one thing his dying foe hadn't prepared for. But Charlie couldn't savor his brief victory as two blue-clothed gladiators raced toward him. Shit. He turned and ran. There was no dishonor in gaining a moment to regroup, and he was doing just that, one quickly falling foot after another. As he fled, he saw that Fomley was at the base of the pole, but given the rapidly pumping wound in his side, Charlie doubted he'd be able to make the climb, let alone survive the day. It looked like they would have to win the hard way, by taking out all of the other fighters, one at a time. Their black dragon lunged out, snatching an opposing fighter from the field and tossing him into the stands. The dead man's body passed through the enchanted shielding with ease, but his weapons caught on it, the one thing keeping him from landing in the rapt audience. Now the Zamaki were being seen as the real threat, and the men on the field, as if by unspoken agreement, turned their attentions on the beasts, determined to wipe them from the equation before they returned to trying to kill one another. A raging bellow caught Charlie's attention, but not just his ears. He felt it in his whole body. He turned and saw the source of the sound. An enormous red dragon, its scales the color of old rust and dried blood, was spewing flames against four attackers as they charged it with both spells and weapons. Charlie saw the lighter coloring of a scar on its wing, a scar where he had healed it years prior. The dragon sensed him as well, turning its gaze on him, locking eyes a moment before dodging another violent attack. The blue team were hectoring the creature, and by the looks of it, had it cornered. Without thinking, Charlie raced toward them, sword in hand as he drew his slop from his belt. If there was a time to use it, this, he decided, was it. It was 4-on-1, not counting the dragon, and Charlie didn't know which of the many spells racing through his mind would be the most effective. He dodged a stun spell, then stumbled through his own incantation, accidentally singing two spells together as his melodic memory device tripped up his tongue. Floramari Vanti Nectus Riha, he blurted, unintentionally mixing the Druk propulsion spell with a magical throwing one. The results of his combined Conus and Slop's power with the strange spell was immediate and violent. Two of the men were crushed flat to the ground, while the others were flung high into the air until they bounced off of the enchanted barrier. What the hell was that? He marveled at his unexpectedly effective spell. Movement caught his eye, and Charlie spun to see the great fanged creature, ready to fight if need be, but held his hands up, palms open. Hey, fella, I'm the guy who fixed your wing. You remember me? The dragon gave him what looked suspiciously like an amused smirk.
For one, I am not a fella, a female voice said, reverberating in his head. And remember you. Of course I remember you. You were kind to me, though I could smell your fear. Now, however, I can smell no such cowardice.
Wait a minute. Are you actually talking to me?
I thought that was obvious. It is rather interesting, though. Not for a very long time have any of my kind been able to speak with a non-Zamaki like this. The only one who had that ability is long dead.
You mean Visla Balamar, I assume.
How did you...
A poorly cast spell crashed into the soil beside them. Their moment of grace had passed, and several men were racing toward them with the aim to do violence. The crowd didn't know what to make of what happened next. A man and a Zamaki fighting side by side, and not even from the same team. The gladiator in green was not magically protected from the red team's beast. The dragon spat flame and slapped with her tail, while Charlie threw defensive spells from his conus to protect her, then went on the offensive with his slop. The speed at which spells were flying from his lips seemed almost unnatural, but then he was an astronaut from another planet, fighting alongside a dragon and using magic. Unnatural was just a matter of opinion at that point. Two of the attackers fell to stun spells, another succumbed to the dragon's fiery breath, but the strongest of them landed a shot on Charlie, sending him tumbling to the ground, clutching his arm. The dragon bellowed and charged the man, foregoing defense, opting for brute force. She was going to run him down, he realized, and quickly turned and ran away. Her ruse worked, and the dragon quickly circled back to the injured human.
Quickly, climb onto my back and hold on tight.
What are you going to do?
If a fighter claims the ring atop the pole, the combat ceases. Now, hurry!
She dropped flat, allowing Charlie to scramble to her shoulders as best he could. The crowd was abuzz with utter shock. With nothing to hold on to, he slid his hands around the shining band around her neck and held on tight. With a few flaps of her great wings, she launched into the air, but the protective dome pushed her back lower, where a wampa and two red aliens Charlie had never seen before all threw spells at her in hopes of bringing her down.
No!
Charlie shouted when he felt one fly true, stunning the Zamaki. She managed to stay aloft, but only just.
Conus Magusi! He barked,
the defensive spell draining the incoming ones of their potency. As he cast, something unexpected happened. The band beneath his hands lost its glow, and as it did, Charlie felt an immense power surge from the creature beneath him.
Oh my,
she said, flapping hard, driving toward the towering pole.
Grab it and end this,
she said, but seeing another on the verge of defeating them, all of the opposing gladiators turned their spells skyward, driving her back with a ferocious onslaught.
Enough!
Charlie bellowed, feeling the energy from the Zamaki flowing around him.
Bandus Riha!
He shouted, drawing power not from the conus or even the slop, but much to his shock, from the Zamaki herself. A blinding flash burst out, the accidentally modified spell stunning every gladiator on the arena floor, knocking them to their knees. But it didn't stop there. The spell blew right through the enchanted dome protecting the arena seats, sending the spectators flying. Nothing like that had ever happened in all the years of contests, and no one knew what to do. A startled hush fell over the crowd. Then they went absolutely wild, cheering with gusto as the dragon and its rider swooped in and grabbed the ring from the pole just as the powerful Vislas overseeing the event frantically uttered the emergency spell, activating every collar to its fullest, knocking every last man and beast unconscious. Charlie and his mount somehow sustained a moment longer than the others, but the glow of power around them faded quickly, and they too dropped to the ground. The stands were in pandemonium. It was the most amazing thing any of them had ever seen. This would go down as one of the greatest bouts ever, and they had borne witness. A pale man in the stands was particularly impressed with the chaos he had just witnessed, his pointed canines barely showing through his curious smile. From his seat on the lower tier sidelines, Sir Barud's brow was furrowed as he surveyed the scene. This was not normal, and for once, the great master didn't have the slightest idea how to handle things. In one of the private boxes high above the field of combat, someone else took great interest in what had just happened. Charlie was on the radar of someone very wealthy and very powerful.